Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 139 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of, you can find me on Tumblr at toomanythingstolist.com, but with me we have Mark Savory of autumnlake.com. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, hello. Hello there.
And how's it going?
Just ducky, and how's it going for you?
Oh, goosey.
Just goosey.
We're still waiting for Tanya to show up online. She's running a little bit behind, so we'll add her in later. But in the meantime, we have a couple of guests with us here today, as our topic is manga-style webcomics. And we'll get into what we mean by manga in just a bit. But we have Molly from the webcomic Northwind at northwindcomic.com. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's all right.
Just that? That's it?
Yeah.
Well, well, okay then. And we also have, hailing all the way from Argentina, we have Shari. And you can find her at, her main comic is Springette.
Yeah, that's fine. Springetti. Made up words.
Springetti. We'll put a show link in the notes. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Well,
yeah. Kind of nervous.
Oh, don't be. Not on this show. Everything's cool and fine. We're
nobody listens, so it's okay.
It's very, very, very casual. I hope to present a casual atmosphere, so.
I can't speak for fast, but I am wearing pants.
I just hope my accent doesn't.
No, that's no problem at all. Let's see here. I think Tanya is actually here. Let's see if Tanya's. Yep, that's the caller. Let's bring Tanya in. And of course, we have Tanya Higgins of Beta Pwned, which is at. Wait, is it that? What? No, it's called Daisies and Shit at daisiesandshit.com.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, alrighty. Well, Tanya, do you know what today's subject is?
Not yet.
I have a calendar and everything, and it updates. Actually,
I know, and I usually check the calendar right before I come on the show, and I'm behind.
No, that's okay. It was kind of last minute. I was trying to get somebody else for the Halloween theme, but I haven't heard back yet, so they're probably really busy. So, Molly and we have Molly Hayden here from northwindcomic.com.
Hi.
And we also have a Shori from Springetti .net. And I will post those in the chat room. So the show for this week is we're looking at manga style webcomics.
Oh yes.
So let's start with defining at least technically what does manga mean. Molly, do you want to start?
Sure. Well, I suppose it's a specific type of drawing style for the most part. I mean, it is very varied, but there are certain characteristics that you can tell, like the usually enlarged eyes, you know, the noses are usually pretty small and so on. Mm-hmm. And certain expressions that, you know, show up in a lot of different comics. And see a lot of screen tones. I don't really read American comics at all, but the manga make use of a lot of different screen tones.
But isn't manga essentially just the Japanese word for comic?
Yeah,
so therefore
much.
It's comic.
It's comics, but I find that there are a lot more. There's like if you can think of a topic, there's a comic for it. With American comics, it's like heroes. That's all I see. Heroes and
you're talking in print.
Yeah, that I've seen.
Okay. Shori, what about you? When somebody uses the word manga, how do you interpret it?
Well, I have a kind of different definition than Molly's. I think manga is comics. Well, actually in Japan, it's they can use either word at the same with the same meaning. It's not so much a genre, but it's actually kind of a movement within the sequential art way of telling a story.
Okay.
And they have different genres inside manga, which, shoujo, yosei, which is for girls or adult girls, mm-hmm. Shonen, which is the one everyone knows, the big fights,
the four guys
charging,
basically.
Yeah, one guy standing in front of the other,
yeah, Dragon Ball Z and all that.
Yeah, they spend like three episodes just powering up.
Oh god.
And then there's also like yaoi and all that other fun yaoi stuff.
Yeah, that's a huge market in Japan for all that.
Very, very huge.
Yeah. And art-wise, obviously you have a couple of limitations that come within their techniques, since it has to be mass-produced. From the beginning, it was mass-produced and it had to be quick to print, not too many colors. They use only one ink, which brings the beauty of using screen tones and other techniques such as cross hatching mm-hmm. and all the ink washes even. And while I do recognize the fact that some characters have larger eyes because that kind of brings in the reader to identify them, and it's a good use of they share a lot of emotions through the way they draw their eyes. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's kind of you can't say, well, this is manga just because it has large eyes. Otherwise, I don't know, Bugs Bunny would be manga.
Well, it's not so much that they're large, but there's usually a lot of detail, a lot of detail in the eyes. In fact, I'd almost say it's almost the most detailed part aside from the hair.
Yeah, because it's how they transmit a lot of the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find a lot of different art styles, which is kind of the beauty I find in their way of drawing comics, which is, I think it's great. I really love webcomics because most of the time the artist kind of brings in their own art and tries to experiment with different things.
Mm-hmm.
While if you were to say, I don't know, DC comics in the 40s or 30s, that they all look the same.
Mm-hmm.
Superhero comics, of course, which is the most popular example. Kind of how the different artists had to imitate each other, so it will follow a line. That kind of doesn't happen so much in manga, which I think it's one of the beautiful things it has.
I'm going to open up the argument about... There's an argument, I guess, within the sort of a manga fan community, and even creators. I have heard the argument, no, it's only manga if it's from Japan. No, that's it. Only from Japan. Everything else is just a comic, or it's Western manga. Or Shori, you mentioned in an email, I think you called them like OIL.
Yes, Original English Language Manga.
Yes. But you have an issue with that.
Well, personally, because it doesn't fit me. I mean, English is not my main language. Mm-hmm. I bet you can tell that from my accent. But it kind of slips me away and a lot of production from Europe. There's a lot of French artists. I don't know if you've heard of Black Cat, Aurore, it's her name. She's a very popular artist that picks up a lot of items and tricks from manga to use in her own work. She's mm-hmm. a published print artist. Mm-hmm. And I'm not entirely sure if she considers her own stuff to be manga, but with the definition of original English language manga, it kind of sounds like it's either English or nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not taking into account, well, like anything else that Americans do, it generally doesn't take into account that there are other countries on the globe.
Yeah. Get out of my way. I'm an American.
We tend to have that problem with our definitions. We seem to forget that the rest of the globe exists. I'll give you that much.
But it's a good definition for a lot of the readers because of what you were saying, that it's either, if it's not from Japan, it's not real manga and all that stuff. And they kind of forget, you know, comics from Korea. What's the other?
The manga?
Yeah, there's a lot of countries picked up. You can find a lot of their material in books and in store shelves. And people don't really recognize they're not Japanese because, well, they don't really know.
They don't pay attention.
That too.
Oh, you have to read right to left. Oh, it's... Yeah. Somebody mentioned in chat that who you're talking about can be found at aurorablackcat.deviantart.com.
Yes,
and you can fair. Yeah, you can check that out there as well. I think I hear a lot of people will also say like Western manga, which I guess is a little bit more broader than English, whatever works.
There's a lot of back and forth. Anything you can pick up and make it your own. So it's kind of a feedback between manga style and American or Western comic style. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of pick up items from both styles. And you kind of make new things that people will look into that, and instead of looking at the air quotes, the source. So it's kind of difficult to actually say exactly what is manga and what is not, and that brings a lot of discussions.
Mm-hmm. Molly, what do you think?
I don't.
You don't know. I don't know. I guess I don't really see the need for this art. It's as though it's like people take it personally. Like they're stealing a particular person's style. You know what I'm saying? Some people will take it that personally. I don't know.
That's when it gets a little bit dangerous.
Yeah, I suppose it's like, you know, like people are like personally offended. Like if you, like you're trying to pass yourself off as a Japanese or Korean, you know, animator or cartoonist or whatever, and it's like, dude, it's an art style for one.
Yeah. Well, that would be a bit saying that since you're doing sequential art, you're ripping off DC and Marvel. I mean, you know,
I guess with things like Dragon Ball Z or something like that, there's an artist or a designer who came up with that look, and then people try to make their own comics with a similar style because that's how they learned it.
That's a very distinctive style to try to copy.
Yeah.
That one in particular, but yeah. You know, but of course you are going to get a more general style if you look at like the what do they call it? like the really really cheap manga books that they just kind of sell and they're just kind of everywhere. They're
not like
yeah, you can like get them really cheap and get them on the train or whatever or whatever.
I don't know.
Well, it's something like that. It's basically like dime books or like, you know, it's kind of like that idea. Where there's, you know, it's, you know, you got like you got artists. It's not so much that an artist works on like manga in like Japan or Korea, especially in those places. A lot of the mainstream stuff you're gonna get, they're done by art houses, where you got a lot of people, and you kind of have to have a fairly consistent style that's kind of general between a lot of different brands. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay, assembly line cartooning. So with that, we have a couple of different ways that, that manga style comics are typically presented. You usually see it's a different cut. It's a different size than a regular, like say comic page for here. And you'll usually see like if you go to Kablam or Comics Press and, when you want to print a book, they have usually standard and manga size. There's also the
That's because of the page size. They use a different how in America you use letter size and legal.
Yeah.
In other parts of the world, you have DINA, which is A4, A3. A5, right. and in Japan they use the B line of, it's just a different way of cutting paper, and
yep,
they kind of use that same size to save up on paper, obviously, and
oh, yeah,
to be able to produce a lot more than if they were to try to adapt their sizes to the American comics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you have your standard page. The other one, which I'm not even sure fits into a standard manga page unless they double it up, is like the four panel, like the tower. 1, 2, 3, 4 going on down. What is that called? The
yon comma.
Yeah.
Or four comma. It means four cell manga or four panel.
Four panels.
Yeah.
And, well, it's actually the style I use for Springetti, and while at first glance you would think it's the same as a four-panel Western comic, it actually has kind of a storytelling structure,
okay,
that comes from Chinese theater, if I'm not mistaken. And it's really interesting to read four-panel strips from Japan, because they kind of just tackle one little topic, and it's very, you would think that nothing really is happening, but it does. It's really weird, because if you look back after you finish reading a book that it only has yon comma, and you look back and say, what really did happen? Only three different situations. Lately, I've been reading K-On!, which I think it's already on its second book, being print, and it's really interesting. I personally take some elements from yon comma and some elements from Western comics to try to use in my own webcomic.
Yep.
But I mainly follow the yon comma storyline type, which is kind of the traditional Western structure. But for example, if you can see on, I think it's the comic encyclopedia, kind of Wikipedia.
Okay.
You have the list of the first panel, how it forms the basis of the story. Mm-hmm. Second panel develops upon the foundation of the story. And the third panel is the climax, and the fourth panel is the conclusion. Conclusion. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's similar to the Western, you know, side-by-side style of, you know, setup, story, punchline. Is it, though, what I've noticed is like, especially in the four coma, they're wider than, say, like the typical, you know, four panel strip, the Western four panel strip. They're skinnier but taller.
Yeah, usually the layouting it allows you to put, well, in Japanese comics, the characters go, they're not horizontal, so you have the space to make at least two speech bubbles. Mm-hmm. And one character. So that's mainly why it has that different layout. While in Western comics, you usually put the text on the top.
Yeah.
And the people in the bottom of the panel. That's usually the difference.
Yeah. Hang on. I think we need to take a break. We're getting at the end of our first segment here. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this.
Yay.
And we'll hope that Tanya stays with us.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
I don't have any other processes running. I don't have any other programs running.
Well, then it's your service. It has to be your service.
It lets
or
me
your
hear
life.
Fess. Fess can talk for an hour, and I can hear that crystal clear. For the second anyone else.
Uh-huh.
Tanya, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Maybe we should call her. If she hears us right now, I don't know if she can. Maybe we should get her via the phone. Molly.
Yes.
I'm not meaning to ignore you.
No, that's all right. I'm happy listening.
I just talk too much.
Well, talking is good. Information is good. Is there anything that of what we've covered so far, Molly, that you'd like to add or expand upon?
No, I'm. What Shari's been saying is pretty much what I would have said. It's just that she says it before I do.
I'm curious about the screens, about the halftones on the screens. I assume that you both probably do that digitally.
I do, yes.
Molly?
Yes.
Do you use screens in your
no.
comic?
I do it. If I do screens, I do them in Photoshop.
Uh huh. Is there like a program you use or like a kit?
Something
like that.
I do them with filters, but with a manga studio, that's something I've been meaning to get. I believe it comes with screen tones that you can apply, and it's a lot easier. Yeah, I've been kind of forgetful about, like, oh, I'll get it, you know, next week. I'll forget about it.
I think it was only like $20 on Amazon.
Oh,
here.
That's not the.
It's cheap. I just keep forgetting.
Well, that's the light version, essentially.
Yeah.
I think the full version's like $300 or so.
I'm not sure. I remember Lem. I was talking with Lem the other day, about he. Something about like the full on version is basically comparable to the full on version of Photoshop. So hundreds of dollars. Of course, there is a light version. I think there's like a couple of steps for Manga Studio, though. There might be a couple of different kinds.
Yeah, there's Manga Studio 4, I think, is the one that's only $20. I got that a while back. It was 50, but they had a price cut on it. So I have that. Haven't toyed around with it too much, but I've played with it a little bit. I kind of thought the screens would be interesting to play around with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably will add them on later on for my comics. Because, my comics are pretty blank right now because I haven't, gotten around to screen toning them at all. But, yeah, probably go back and once I actually do get Manga Studio, fix them up.
Let's see here. We're having Tanya back.
I'm here.
Hi.
Hello.
Kind of. Yeah. I'm not sure what's going on, but if I cut out again, I think I'm just going to have to say, sorry, I need to fix something before. Because keeping, having me go out and come back in and go out and come back in is kind of making for a crappy show. So,
It's okay. Well,
we can always call you on
the
phone. I can always call you on the phone if that works better, too. But
Actually, that would work worse because I have no reception in my home at all. But that's
right. Tanya Higgins live via text message.
Never mind a rally to restore sanity. We need a rally to restore Tanya's connectivity.
I know. What will I do?
Nice.
This is my entire social life right here.
Me too. Wow, how about that?
I have another question for, especially when you see web manga.
Yeah.
Particularly, a lot of times, not all of them, but a lot of times, particularly if it's sort of billed as a web manga or done in a web manga or done in a manga style, if you go to the archive page, they'll be basically very sectioned off from each other with numbers saying these are the archive pages of this chapter, a very different organization than just a big long list like a lot of us webcomicers have. If there are different ways to do archives, and this is certainly one additional way, and we did lose Tanya again, so I guess we will not be hearing from her again.
That's great.
But I think with a lot of other manga style comics, it bothers me a lot when I see this happen. But they don't, a lot of them, not all of them, a lot of them don't put the comic on the main page. They'll have a news post.
I hate that.
A news post with a little cropping. They'll at least have a cropping of click for latest comic.
Well, that's not so bad if they have a three comic update where you go to the first of the three new comics. But if they update once and they have the one new one on there, that bugs the hell out of me.
Yeah, I have no idea what the point of that is. It's like, where do they get that?
I think it's to save bandwidth, so they don't have to load the first page all the time.
Well, that's where people are going to be going to read their comic.
I've seen that, though. I've seen that, too.
I mean, that's at least better than just a news post. I mean, they'll at least show a cropping of it so you can tell that if it's a new comic or not.
Hmm.
I guess it seems to work. I'm not entirely sure. I would be very much against that. I would either prefer the comic on the main page or a static page that you can easily get to or bookmark every single time. I don't know. I was just wondering because it tends to be more common with manga styled comics. So I'm not entirely sure if there's a thing about that.
I haven't gotten the memo about that. Okay. I put mine on the front page.
Yeah.
What about the mangas that or the manga style where they actually try to do it like Japanese manga? In other words, you have to read
right
read the
left.
Reverse way and all of that.
Yeah.
That's silly.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I say unless it's coming from a country that normally does that and it's being translated, stop it.
It does seem like for a Western audience, it seems like it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Unless you want to make your Unless you want to make your panels all the same size so you could rearrange them at will. If you want to do that much work. So you might be able to sell it in Japan. But I've never been a fan of that. Whenever I see that, I just sort of shake my head. And it's like, you're not making it as accessible as you could be. Yeah. And that means fewer readers, probably.
It does. I've given up on some comics where I'm trying to read it. And I'm not entirely sure if I was supposed to read it right to left or left to right. And it could have just been, like, the way they put their bubbles just sucked. And because I couldn't follow what was going on. It's like, you know what? If you can't correctly market your comic, I have a feeling that your primary language is English. So you should construct your obviously, your marketing to English, since you're making an English comic that's not available in any other languages. So therefore, you go with what's standard as far as that society is concerned, so that you can have the
ability to access it. You're doing
it wrong. It does seem like one thing that you will see in the manga style that nobody else does. I guess for obvious reasons, but I've never seen a similar thing in other genres. You know what I mean? I've never seen a similar hang-up like that.
What Well, you know, it's not just comics. It's also literature. I don't know which countries do it, but there's a lot of, I guess, quote-unquote Eastern countries that, you know, even novels, you know, the whole magazines, everything is essentially right to left instead of left to right.
Right.
So it's not isolated.
That becomes from when they develop the language. And they would hold a roll of paper on their left hand and write with the right hand, so it would go from right to left. That's basically how the whole difference started.
Really?
So yeah, that's why they. That's why you will find books in Japan that if they're written in a horizontal way, they will be the same as Western books. The cover will be on the left side, and your page number one will start on the right side. And you will also find the common Eastern books that are the other way around.
Let's see here. Well, let's start talking about like some existing webcomics out there that have a particularly manga style. We mentioned a few before the show, and one of them was Flipside, and you can go at flipsidecomics.com. And if you go to their archive, which would be /chapters.php, you get an example of particularly what I was talking about as far as the archive is set up. And like I said, I've seen this sort of archive set up on typically manga-style webcomics. Same thing with that homepage deal. It's like there's a sort of continuity as far as, especially archive pages like this.
Well, isn't it? I mean, some of those have been around a long time, maybe before these sort of standards came along where you have your comic on the homepage and things like that. Do you think? Maybe?
It could be. That's, I mean, I actually don't think this is a bad archive. I think it's a really good archive, particularly when it comes to story stuff. Because they're separated into chapters, and you know, they're meant to be read as one versus, like, say, a gag a day strips, where they're not going to necessarily be next to each other. So you could, like, name a particular strip. I don't think most. I mean, it's like you don't go to Marvel and DC. They don't have a particular name for that page of Spider-Man or whatever. It's, you know, it's page four. So I can get that. But I do like the sort of archive separation. And, you know, I would personally like a little bit more of an image to kind of showcase a little bit more what might be going on in said chapter. But it's not that big of a deal.
It also tells you how many pages are in that chapter. So you know how much you're going to read. That's pretty interesting.
Well, there's always that, too.
There are a couple where they just put an image and you don't know when it starts and when it begins.
I don't like that. There's some where you'll click on it and it's like, and then it's entirely within. There's only a few comics I've seen like this where you'll click on it and you'll be there, and it's all done within the page, so you don't know exactly where you are. You can't particularly bookmark that. So it's like you gotta like sit and keep reading until you find the end, and it's like it's like you almost don't want to even start that. The matter of accessibility. But so I'll open up I'll open it up to Molly. I know you mentioned some before the show, but let's do it on the show. What are some manga style comics that we could mention for our listeners?
Well, the first one is one that's been going on for quite a while, Skyfall. It's it's one I've read for a while. It's pretty good. It's definitely manga style. The archives are actually 2 pages on each like archive page, so it looks like a book. It's kind of neat. I really like their use of screen tones on their comic.
Oh yeah. It's a little small, but main storyline. Yeah, they also had that sort of archive separation though without images. Lots of screen tones. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. So I really admire them for that. I don't know what they use for it, but it looks really, really nice.
Probably. It's quite possibly just digital. It seems way too much work to be cutting things out and pasting. I don't know if anybody actually does that anymore.
Mm. Well, they do. Maybe it's layers so or live. Textures they're using. That could be.
You can still buy actual screen tones, like at art stores and stuff.
Well, yeah.
If you got a lot of money.
And it's,
yeah,
it's
they're really expensive. That's why I do them on a computer.
Yeah, that's also, there's also the time to sit there, cut, paste, get out your glue stick. Or are they self-adhesive? I don't know how they work.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've never actually used them. I'm like, look at the price tag. No, I won't bother. I can do it for free in Photoshop.
All right. Any others?
Yes. Pandect. It's one that is actually read from right to left, but is in English.
Son of a bitch!
But it's one of my favorites. Very, very pretty. they update. I don't think they have a regular update schedule, so I just kind of check back every once in a while. That's pretty.
Oh, it's saying please read from right to left, please.
Yeah, they actually like let you know. I like that.
Well, as long as they say, I'll have less of a problem. And it also asked nicely. It said please. So, well, already, Shari. Hello.
Yes. Well, I have Red String, which is one of the most known ones. I think it's .com. Oh, you already have it. Perfect. Well, we've also mentioned Omake Theater, which is a Yonkoma style webcomic that they, instead of using screen tones, they prefer to just do it color, which I think it's a nice touch. There's also, we've also mentioned Kawaii Not, which picks up the four panel structure, although it not always follows the storytelling structure. You'll see sometimes that it's joke.
It's usually
silence joke.
it's basically my problem with Kawaii Not. It's kind of a basically it's four panels but one joke and three lead-ins. and it's like, oh, what's it gonna be? Oh, and to me the last part is, oh, the same joke I've seen on I don't know, 100 different other kawaii knot strips. Some sort of sarcastic inanimate object or food making some really bad pun. But that's me, you know, and they somehow got published and printed and they've had their books available in Urban Outfitters. Good on them. I don't get it. It's whatever.
At the beginning, it was really... it did that all the time.
Yeah.
Then it improved a little bit. I think her art's great, but sometimes I have the same problem. And if I may plug it, well, Eerie Cuties, next week we're starting with a more manga style pages, and it's not going to be 4 panels anymore, it's going to be full page. And I've been... Gisela Gass is the artist, and I've been inking and toning, and I gotta tell you, the new pages look beautiful, and the story's going to be really interesting.
Of course they do! Because you're working on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. But I mentioned this before, and I have to bring it up again, just because, you know, I mean, you obviously don't have any, I mean, you're not with the creative, like, writing part of it. But these are like high schoolers, young high schoolers, and it's got, as a 30-year-old man, I feel uncomfortable reading this comic. It's like, I shouldn't be seeing preteens in underwear. I mean, is this legal? Can I read this?
Well, luckily it's not made in Japan, otherwise you will be seeing a lot more.
Oh boy.
And Fess is thinking, hey, where's that link?
Anywho. Yeah, we were talking, let me see how much time we have left on the recording here. Let's see if there was any other... Well, that was particularly it about comics that we were bringing up beforehand. Molly, you had a comic before Northwind. Actually, you had two comics, didn't you?
I had two comics.
Were they done in the sort of like manga style?
Yep. I that's pretty much the style I learned to draw in. And mm-hmm. It's what I continue with.
Did you get one of those How to Draw Manga books?
No. I actually started... My first... drawings that I ever did were, seriously, I videotaped Sailor Moon, and I took a piece of tracing paper and I traced the things so I could have references to work from, because I had nothing back then. I had to videotape and trace them.
You traced the TV.
I traced the TV.
That's awesome. it's a light box.
Well, back then, there really wasn't a whole lot of manga that you could go out and get. Like, once it actually, like, came out in bookstores in America, it was really expensive. And I only had an allowance back then, so it's not like I could go out and buy as many books as I do now, because they're, like, at least $5 cheaper per book nowadays.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're much cheaper these days because, you know, it has to start somewhere, and early adoption is going to be expensive because there's no demand, as much demand as everything else. So,
yeah, but. my early influences were some of the first, like, not on TV animes, like Ranma ½ and Fushigi Yugi. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of my style from those.
Well, very cool. Well, right now we're going to take our last break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about adaptation and talk about some news.
Yankee cartoons were always boring, and
what happened then? What happened then?
Started watching shows from the Pacific Rim.
Pika! Canada!
Rumble!
Showed up for a just a bad tuxedo mask. Once he made me swoop, he saw my Sailor Moon. He's a speed racer, star blazer, anime fan. A Miyazaki eating hockey anime fan.
Ooh, yeah.
He really used
Voltron.
I'll form the head.
Every Gundam he can make was mounted like a toy. The cyberpunk is my own Astromoid. But behind closed doors, he's my Gigantor. He's a stocky booster by a booster anime fan. A mecha flyer mech guy for anime fan. What's it between?
Shy main character, and I have a crush on you.
But I have a crush on that very Exaport.
That's me.
You must fight me for my love.
Did I mention I'm a super robot weapon too?
Oh, pretty boy divine, I'm his Valentine. He's a transformer, disproportionate anime fan.
Oh.
The envy making cosplay an anime fan.
Oh, yeah.
Not just like Inuyasha, I obey his word. He stole my heart like Lupin.
Has a plot.
He's a hentai watching, happy crotching anime fan.
What?
A wang attack, a tail dragon anime fan.
Say.
A likes of Kirby, super Kirby anime fan.
Ooh.
A gonna rock you, king otaku anime fan.
I'm the cute goose, give me my wing to drag
anime
down.
Fan.
I am Squirrel Door, demon from the fifth
anime
world.
Fan.
My, what big tentacles you have. What were the
anime
goose?
Fan.
You're about to find out.
What?
Anime
you
fan.
Be a ninja warrior.
Anime
taste
fan.
My face, naughty
anime
demon.
Fan.
Bring ya.
Oh, oh. Hey, watch it. These are sensitive. Canada had to do. Got into a fight.
Destroyed Neo Tokyo, freaky mutant might.
Team Rocket's blasting off at the speed of light.
Jesse and James and Meow, that's right.
Nine-tailed Demon Fox Naruto was shunned.
Fought to Pika Hokage and he won.
Light got out his book and ended our fun.
Wrote a death note about us and now we're done.
That was Anime Fan by the great Luke Ski with Kerry Dalby. At musicalley.com by Mevio. I was supposed to mention a comic last week, and I'm going to mention it right now. The suspense is killing you, I know. As we have been doing for the past several episodes, when we don't have a paid sponsor sponsoring the episode, the Rampage Network thus becomes sponsoring in part. And then I go through and I'll pick a comic that is hosted, you know, a member of the Rampage Network. And last week, I forgot to mention what it was. And it was supposed to be the comic Bible at BibleComic.net, and it stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. So you got some angels and demons in that comic. So it's particularly why I wanted to bring it up. Because we had a demon episode last time, so it's got some anthropomorphic animals in there as well. So, it's really, really cool art done in not entirely a manga style because the site kind of has that feel a little bit, but mostly the angels and demons. And this week being Halloween, I am picking.
Oh, sorry.
I am picking Zomben at zombenstrikes.com to be this week's Rampage. You know, and this episode is sponsored in part by Rampage Network through Zomben. And if I'm reading this right, where's the about page? If I haven't read it, but it had been updating kind of sporadically, so it's been a while. But it, you know, features, you know, Zemans, and I guess the main guy Zomben is like a zombie superhero. I'm not entirely sure if that's correct, but the latest page seems to suggest that. But very cool art, and it's just got a little bit of a sporadic update right now. But those are this week's, this and last week's advertisers for the Webcomic Beacon. And for those who are interested, you can also go to webcomicbeacon.com/advertise to seek out more information about sponsoring a particular episode, or you can bid on one of our Project Wonderful ads, which are being bombarded by Barnes & Noble and Viz Media right now. but we do have on the... I keep forgetting to mention, at least mentioning them on the show, but we do have at least one that's another comic, and that's at Just Plain Something. At justplainsomething.com. Well, it's not particularly comic. It's actually a blog. It's film critic. It's film critiques. So people can check that out if they'd like. I don't particularly mention like the big mainstream ones because they're a lot more commercial. I'm not going to mention the Barnes & Noble. I'll mention that it's a Barnes & Noble ad, but everyone that has a webcomic right now probably has it on their site too. So there you go. So let's see here. I wanted to just bring up a couple more things about the manga style before I go into some news that I have. And we talked a little bit before the show about this, but we're talking about the artist that does, you know, Penny and Aggie and Ménage à Trois, which I guess some people will say Ménage à Three because... You see a number, you'll say it in your own language, despite if the rest of the sentence is in another language. But we were talking about how there's a lot of manga inspiration in that as well. But there's also a lot of Archie comic inspiration into that as well. I can't even speak today. Shory speaks better English than me. yeah, it's a fairly good example of adaptation and taken a part of, and maybe we should talk about what inspires us in a future episode. Could be pretty fun to listen and have people call in and you know, share their influences and such, and see how it's reflected in your artwork. Of course, there's people that blatantly rip off other people too, but I think Chibutikin is in the chat room right now, and maybe she can help me out a little bit. Anyone remember those Pop-Tarts commercials with those weird little stick figure people?
Oh, yes, those things. Yes, I remember those.
That was apparently hijacked art. They were ripping off somebody's style.
Really?
Yeah.
I recognize it, yeah, but I can't remember exactly who they were ripping off.
And I'm waiting for... they were ripping off Don Hertzfeld.
Ah, yes.
And I'm not particularly sure of the... I think it was an award-winning animation that has been seen. Yeah,
it's rejected,
which is awesome. You might remember such famous lines as "My spoon is too big," and also
"I am a banana."
I am a banana, and "My anus is bleeding." That is like the best, awesomest thing ever.
I am the queen of France.
Nick Simmons, I guess, is the art thief, so to speak. That sounds too nice of a word.
He's pulling a Goldman, is he?
Todd Goldman, oh, that bastard. We should have an episode on rip-off artists, and just a little bit more like, hey, look, these guys are assholes. But yeah. Also, the guy that does Don Hertzfeld, he also has another one. It's called Balloon or something like that.
Oh, features, yeah, that's fantastic.
It's terrible, but it's awesome. It's just. It Billy's Balloon. Yeah, you shouldn't. You'll feel bad for enjoying it, or you should feel bad for enjoying it, if you have any sort of sense of decency or respect for, I don't know, living things. Oh, God. Alrighty. So that's that. I wanted to mention something that I've been doing, I guess, amidst of the other... webcomic Beacon co-hosts here. I've just been kind of springing it on them. Well, not particularly, but going around behind their heads. Well, they're not being included, basically, in these plans, because it's wrong for me to demand more of their time for these new ideas that I have for the Webcomic Beacon Extended Programming, or Webcomic Beacon EP. You can also say Extended Play, I suppose. But I've got also a newscast coming up, so let me just go on some of the new stuff, because I'm anticipating all this stuff, and I'm excited. So hopefully this will stay around, so I can bring back the weekly Webcomic Beacon, and I could use the phrase the Webcomic Beacon, your place to hear about and talk about webcomics weekly.
Yay.
And Tanya groans, I'm sure. So, at least starting once a month, I'm looking to put together a newscast, which is basically, I really try to keep the core programming, the Sunday live shows, the core programming from being too dated, so that you can go at any point in time and listen to a particular episode in the archive and it won't feel dated. But these newscasts will probably be a little bit more dated, because we'll be talking about particular news that's happening. And if you go to webcomicbeacon.com/contribute, you can see a few different ways to be able to contribute to the show. Basically, on the second week of the month, since that's when we don't have a core program, I will be trying to put together a news report or a newscast, and Eric of, or aka Dromos of Xern.com is currently helping me find articles online related to webcomics. We've also received a permission from Comics Talk and Fleen to, grab excerpts from their articles. Of course, all reporters and all articles and such will get properly linked. I expect most of our information to come secondhand. So, I mean, I'm also looking for commentary for these shows, and for the newscast and the EP episodes, I'll be trying out some new co-hosts. I'm particularly hoping to find people that can head these projects, and it's not going to be, I don't want to be me all over, but
did you just get a phone call?
It's a text message.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm gonna go see my parents later today. My mom texted me back. So that'll be something to look for in the second week. Also, as far as the extended programming is concerned, I'm talking with Adam Smithy of Apple Valley and Apple Discord about doing basically Webcomic Beacon EP is shorter, more centric episodes, basically scrapping out like the third segment we normally do on the core programming, and also being shorter, 10 to 20 minutes, and the newscast maybe is 20 to 40 minutes, and the Webcomic Beacon is 60 to 90 minutes, so it's all, it's a matter of branding, a matter of time and such. We're looking at showcasing tropes, memes, art challenges. I spliced this into last week's episode, so it's too late to register for the official challenge, but you can still, it's like any challenge, you can do a challenge anytime. You don't have to do 24-hour comic on 24-hour comics day. But I will mention again, through the month of November, the challenge is 30 characters challenge. You need to create 30 new characters for one for each day of November, and you don't have to do it one a day. You don't have to do it all in one day. It's just by the end of November, the challenge is to have 30 brand new characters. And so I'm gonna be getting in on that, and I'm hoping I can at least get to 15. I'm hoping that. And I'm basically, this is a great challenge for any cartoonist, I think, because you come up with a design and you come up with like a little bit about the character. I'm going to start using these as, you know, with the, starting with the mindset, okay, these will be like extras that you may never see again in, like, say, like my comic, like the clerk behind the counter, person walking by, who knows? And I think that's a good idea, because sometimes you can create a character and you just go off on that and it's like, wow, you know, it's like, I got so many ideas for this, you know, it's like, it's a brainstorming exercise essentially. So I encourage people to check that out at 30characters.com, and that's 30 with 30. And, you know, and I'm going to be interviewing him next, the guy who came up with 30 characters next week. I'll put it basically, you know, a little short episode featuring that. And also the Webcomic Beacon EPF, as I mentioned during the show, I originally called them, they'd be spotlights. I'm calling them featurettes now, since they'll be, you know, off schedule and specifically of a particular person and their work. You know, we'll save the quote unquote features for our regular core programming, and the featurettes will be on the shorter episode. You know, featurette, it's shorter. Whatever. So, and I hope to grab assorted people here and there for these short episodes as well. And Tanya's listening from the chat room, I think, and a Mark too. Yeah, both of you are more than welcome to really go out there. And it's like, there's somebody that you just want to get on the show. We can't particularly find a topic that would that we could you know, put them on the show particularly for, but we still want to talk about them for whatever reason. You know, just let me know, and we'll work something out. It's off schedule, no particular time or schedule. Just let me know if you need me to record it, or if you end up recording it too, I can put it together in the end. So I'm trying to expand what we do on the Webcomic Beacon, and hopefully it'll be very interesting and entertaining. And I'm hoping to expand our audience and get out there more, because I'm really excited to do this. And people can look up more information on contributing to the Webcomic Beacon by going to webcomicbeacon.com/contribute. Sorry. There's a little bit of information about submitting cover art of Becky Beacon for this show. So far, we've used every single listener and guest art that we've received featuring Becky. And if people have press releases, particularly pertaining to print releases, contests, challenges, conventions themselves, or if your webcomic is involved in sort of webcomic, gone beyond webcomic sort of thing, you know, like it's in a game or there's a cartoon or something like that, you know, something of, you know, large particular interest, you can send that to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And, you know, prefix it with press release. Same thing goes for if you have a news report, prefix it with news in the subject line. And we don't do impressions or reviews at the Webcomic Beacon. We haven't done that for some time. However, I will entertain the idea of accepting review print copies of people's books for review. I'll have Mark review them. How about that?
Okay.
So if anybody's interested in that, I'll have people send books and stuff to Mark for him to review, because, you know, we could always listen to Mark talk more, so.
Blah, 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 blah.
Talk, not make noises. Ah. and you know, that's what Mark did before he became a regular co-host of the Webcomic Beacon. You did reviews and a couple other things, too, but so... If that takes off, that takes off. If not, it's something I'm entertaining. So there's a lot of ideas right now. And if people has, there's also a list down below all this stuff on the same contribute page about off-schedule programming. If there's any related ideas that anybody has, I am at the stage where I'm more than welcome to hear about it. I'm talking with a few people, and we'll see what becomes of these ideas working behind the scene. So that is that. Very excited here at the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. I got a lot of people to schedule. I got like four people that I'm going to try to schedule for November and December. I'm just waiting on a particular person, but I think I'll go ahead and schedule up a little bit. But we're going to have some people on to talk about ebooks, selling ebooks for their webcomic. I don't have it in front of me right now, but they were a part of that whole Zuda Comics thing. So it sounds like they have a lot of experience with working on that, and we'll find out more next time we get on. So that's another thing. Also, next week, a special episode of the Webcomic Beacon will have, pending all technology working properly, Chibudi-ken is going to be doing some live demonstrations of how to properly color a comic for print. So we'll be actually utilizing the video part of Ustream for a change. So that should be really, really cool. So that's next week on the Webcomic Beacon, the 7th of November. And on the 14th, the week of the 14th of November, we'll be doing a news podcast. Though, I don't know, we might end up doing it twice a month. We'll see. We'll see how things go. Molly, Shori, I want to thank you both for coming on the show and kind of just sticking around.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Not a problem.
Is there?
I just want to say,
go ahead.
Sorry, when I get nervous, I kind of talk a little bit too much.
No. Have you heard me talk this whole time? This is, you know, nervous and excited are the same thing for me, so I just keep talking too. So, no problem.
Yeah, I tend to shut up when I'm nervous, so that's why I didn't talk too much.
Hey, we got a few milestones, Fess.
Oh, do we?
We do.
Lay them on
X,
me.
Why? XY, which is XWHY at comicgenesis.com, has hit their third year.
Oh.
Also, another third year anniversary is for questionable productions.co.uk. Jack Chill and things like that, so you want to check that out. They just hit 3 years. And Angry Fairy has reached their 100th official storyline strip. So that doesn't count all updates. That's 100 actual storyline updates. That's Angry Fairy, FAERIE.com. So there. Yay.
Do they have like side comics and other stuff too, or?
Yeah, he doesn't count like sort of filler and stuff.
Oh, I don't count filler, but I will count extra comics and extra strips. Yeah. Like I have 42 side strips for PSI, so I'm over 400. Ah, yay! But so awesome. So we'll get those in the show links. I'm just checking over our email box right now. We don't have any other milestones, I think, submitted to us recently.
Okay.
At least that I've marked. And let's see here. But I did want to mention that M. Kenyon, we've had him on the show during the Readers episode. He has a Twitter account. He has a Twitter list of basically webcomic characters with their own Twitter. And I got the list is going to be at, you know, mkinyon / webcomics characters, and I'll post a link in the show notes. But basically, it might also include a couple of not, or particularly, because I see Action Chick in here, and she's not a comic character, but she's in there anyway. But you know, my PSI has Nemi, Fess, and Ernst. And there is Alone in the Crowd has, you know, Sarah Hope and, you know, all those other, you know, name a webcomic with Twitter, name a webcomic with characters with Twitters, and it's likely M. Kenyon has him on his list. Because that's the sort of guy he is. And so you can check it out and you can follow things. And Adam, I think it's Adam that keeps calling me out for being crazy when I'm having conversations with my characters. I'm going back and forth arguing with them because that's the canon of my comic. You know, they are aware of stuff, though. It's, you know, it's fun. I think it's fun. Gives me something to do.
Okay.
Like I need. Yeah. Hey, come on. what would Autumn Lake be like with Twitter? Mark?
I don't know. Dennis would be on Twitter, I suppose. It would just be strange. A lot of work.
A lot of work. Well, all right.
It'd be a lot of work to have the cast on Twitter Although I suppose it'd be cool to have Sherm on there just saying grouchy stuff. Or Dennis saying, on this day, Venera 9 landed on the surface of Venus.
It might
something
be fun.
Like that.
It
would be a lot more work than I want to do.
Well, I was talking with Diana Nock, who has, the Intrepid Girl Bot, I mentioned, what I was doing with PSI, and then she was jokingly saying, like, maybe I should have one for the girl bot, and all she ever says is, beep boop.
That's about it.
And I was like, do that, that'd be awesome. like, you see replies, it's just, beep, beep boop. But, I don't know, maybe I'm easily entertained.
Yeah. Okay, so, what else?
So this has been the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, episode 139. Join us for episode 140, coloring
next time.
Professional coloring with Chibudikin of Tin Lizard Productions. I'm Fess of Fessworks.com.
I'm Mark of AutumnLake.com.
I'm Molly Hayden, or Malu, of NorthlandComic.com.
And Shori of Springetti.net.
All right, thanks to everybody who came this week, especially those in the chat room. We love you.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at WebcomicBeacon.com.
Do you remember those "What's Up" commercials?
Yeah, those.
Do you remember the preppy white version of that?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Just watching the market recap, drinking an import.
That is correct. That is correct.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Hey, Brett, who's that?
Hey, Chad, pick up the cordless. Chad here.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Terrible.